Hey everyone, I'm Sophia.
That's Leah.
And this is Magical Baddies, the realest podcast on all things mystical, magical, and spiritual.
Yay, we're back for another great, amazing, like enlightening conversation between two baddies. Sophia, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm like stoked that this is like our second recording.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Like I'm so for this, and
Yeah.
I'm really stoked on the topic today.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I was looking forward to it too. It's like a fun way for us to connect and also share. And so today we want to talk about community as it pertains to spiritual practitioners. And we've talked a lot about this because we met in community, and being a part of a bigger group has always been a factor, or like it, you know, like it's been present in our development of our friendship and in what we observe the people around us, you know, who are practitioners, like what they're doing, how they're responding. Community's been a big topic. So I guess like I definitely have some questions about community for you. And I know we've talked a lot about different facets of community, but when you think of community, like what comes to mind for you? Like, what do you think about?
So I think what I originally thought of community and what I now define community are two different things. So like going into this as a, you know, spiritual practitioner, you know, I would get like readings, or I would talk to other people and they would say like, find your community, create your community, get into community. And I think as a whole, I sort of thought of that as I have to be present in a group, which is really hard for me to wrap my brain around because I was always like a latchkey kid. You know, felt isolated within my own family. I've always sort of kept to my own. And so that idea of like being present or jumping into a conversation was really scary to me. And also this, I think what I thought it meant was that means the people that I meet are like me. And I often would find that that was not the case. Like my first going into community was the yogic community. And I think that's probably true for a lot of spiritual practitioners. Mm-hmm. But when I would go to yoga, as much as I loved it, you know, I didn't see another face like mine. I didn't speak like everyone else. There wasn't, you know, when I took off my shoes, I didn't see anyone else with like Nike Air Maxes. Like, you know, I just didn't feel resonant, you know, and it always made me feel like an outsider. And even when I took my yoga teacher training, I was like thinking about this yesterday. I was always picked last, or I didn't have like a group I would go to lunch with. And, you know, at that time I was like, you know, 33. And I was like, fuck, this is happening to me all over again. And so the idea of like creating community or being in community was so scary. However, I think you kind of touched on it like dead on, you know, of course, my dogs go off now. As I met you and, you know, I started going to Akashic classes and Hermetic classes and stuff, it sort of redefined my connection to community. Yeah. And rather than like, you know, a group that meets and centers on one thing, what I realized, especially coming out to LA to hang out with like you and Sam and Mary and Shannon, is like, this is my community. It's not about all being the exact same, or it's just everybody respecting and appreciating each other for how they show up. And I have never had that in my life. And so I think this like concept of community and what you create are like two very different things in my sense, especially when I work with clients and they're like, I know I have to get out there, but it's so scary. It's like, you can just start with friendship.
I definitely relate to like as a kid feeling isolated. When I was a kid, I felt like there was the when the word community would come up, it felt like a burden to me, like community service or like a service learning project, or like I have to go into the community. And I would go do these things. Like I was a Girl Scout when I was a kid, and I would go to these meetings, go to these things, but it was like I couldn't wait to just be back at home and be away from people. And like I really didn't know how to feel comfortable making relationships with people that weren't my inner circle of friends or my family. And so it was definitely a skill that I learned as I got older, especially when I became a teacher. And I'm now in charge of making a strong community in a classroom. So I can't be weird about it. I have to be like very transparent and open and authentic. But I still have that feeling of like, like I guess anxiety, or a certain level of anxiety, or maybe it's introversion, where I'm just like, I would much rather be alone right now. Like I just don't, I don't know. So yeah, getting into a spiritual practice and into a spiritual community, especially in LA, it brought back a lot of that childhood stuff for me, where I knew that if I wanted my work to flourish, I had to be in relationship with people, because people bring you, I mean, this sounds a little gross, but like people are the ones that bring you the opportunities to push your work along too. And so I knew I could not build this alone. But then, so I would push myself into situations where I had once again to feel like I was like in community and had to be a certain way, or like was performing. And I don't think it was until very recently that I began to feel just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna be myself. But it was recent, and I'm 42 years old, so it was probably in the last like 5 years that I started to really just be very comfortable with like not performing an identity in community. And that's allowed me to build really good friendships and work relationships. But man, it took a long time. I wasn't used to it.
I think your description of a burden is like dead on. Like it felt like an overwhelming like obligation. And for me, it was less about the performative stuff and more of like the I don't want to perform, so I'm just gonna stand there. Just gonna stand in the back of the room and not say anything. And then I would just beat myself up internally. Like, you have so much to say. Like, why aren't you saying anything? And it's more for me, I feel like it's like quality over quantity. So I'm just like, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of these people are just talking to hear themselves talk, or I don't know. That was, you start to like kind of internalize everything. But I also think, something that I learned very early on, well, early in my 20s, is I had a friend call me once and she was like, "Sophia, we're best friends and I know like 75% of you." And I was like, "Okay, whatever." And then like again in my 30s, my friend, I was like, "No, I get excited." And my friend was like, "Sophia, when you say you get excited, you go, 'I'm excited.'" And like it like dawned on me that I don't like outwardly exert a whole lot, right? And something that I learned was your relationship with other people is a reflection of your relationship to self. So I think like while you were saying like other people push your work and help, and yeah, it is a networking thing. Like ultimately this is for us a business, but it's also like reflective, at least for me, about it in my business or in my craft, like how comfortable I am. So as I became more comfortable and like, I came back from LA and I was like, oh, that was awesome. Like now I know what community is. Now I know what I have. I feel like so much more comfortable in my relationship to self as well. And so I feel like when I do talk to clients and other people about community, especially this day and age, a lot of us are isolated. We're more comfortable behind a screen or whatever. You can feel the burden on them, like, and it's the first date, Right? It's
Yeah,
like, I
totally.
gotta show up. I don't know if I'm gonna
Yeah.
like any of these people. I don't know. And you just
Yeah.
like find the person in the group that you like or don't,
Yeah.
and like find a different group. But
Yeah.
yeah, it took a while, and you know, I'm it took me a while to get comfortable with that too.
Yeah. I realized that one of the things I was doing, which I'm so glad I was able to reflect on this, was that like in the beginning of this work, I'm simultaneously developing my like spiritual knowledge and practice, and I'm developing a business. And I felt those two things be at odds with each other. The spiritual self-development was very like expansive and healing and whatever that word, but like it was very like expansive and growth-based and love-based. And then like the burden to become an entrepreneur was like felt so cutthroat. It felt so like go to this event, meet this person, email this person, network this way. And it didn't feel like organic. It didn't feel loving. It didn't feel it just felt at odds. And I realized that the burden came from this feeling of like I was inadvertently like commodifying relationships. And like, you know, I would thrust myself into like networking opportunities because I thought that's what I had to do. And then I would really like dehumanize the other people I was like meeting with because I was only seeing it from this anxiety-ridden perspective of like, what can I get out of this? How will this help me? You know, like, and I had to really check myself. And I think like one of the turning points I made was like to let go of that. Like my work will grow on its own no matter what. It's gonna grow. Like the records once time said to me, like, a small business is like an extension of the self. It's like a mirror, and it's like a bike. It's only going to like go as fast as your legs pedal it. It will never go faster than your legs can pedal. So like, don't be surprised if you struggle with self-worth, your business will also struggle with self-worth. And so I kind of like, I don't know what it was, but I like let go of that burden of like collecting and hoarding people for my like opportunities and started to really like fall in love with people that I met or like really feel present in those moments of meeting new people. And that is to me now like a true joy in my life, like meeting people, like getting to know people, because every single person is such a weird microcosm of some crazy, they're just so weird and interesting and so fascinating, and I just love them. But when I was in that perspective of hustle, 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 it was really like I was dehumanizing people. And so yeah, you're right. Like my relationship with myself has totally transformed as I've like grown through this, and my community has transformed. I feel like I have more solid, real world, real life relationships that aren't just like networking relationships anymore. Like people that I could call on if I need something or that I want to collaborate with. Yeah.
That's like, sorry, I was like actually listening to you, not thinking of the next thing to say. That was like awesome and an awesome share. Sorry guys, that was just really good. No, and it was honest. And I feel you on like now feeling like I have relationships with people that I feel like are just
Yeah.
real friends and I can call. I had like a an opposite feeling because I came from the corporate world, right? And I worked in
Yeah.
sales and marketing, and I hated the hustle of
Yeah.
like working. And when I got into this and I decided to make this a business, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know
Yeah.
what to do. And at the time, I was living in a small town that was kind of a progressive community, but it was definitely like white centric. And
Yeah.
I was trying to find my people, but they weren't like me, you know? It was like, it
Yeah.
was me again, being in my early 20s all over again, where all
Yeah.
the indie kids looked alike and I didn't look like them, but like I listened to the
Yeah.
same music. It was that
Yeah.
all over again, right? And so a lot of these people will come to me for services, and but then like wouldn't outwardly support me, and it like sucked, you know. And I really struggled with that part because I saw that they would support everybody else, and I didn't know what that was about. And then I found that as I continued and I grew, I kind of had like the opposite of what you had, where I would meet with people and I would hang out with them or talk to them, and I would like build them up because I would want them to like me so badly. And I didn't, you know, I don't think I would almost ever admit that, but I just like wanted them to genuinely like me. So I would give them advice. I would give them like insight. I would give, and then I would see that they would like use exactly what I said to, they would like commodify the like offering that I gave them. And you know, it sucked, but then I realized like, okay, this is a pattern that I do. Like I'm constantly offering, and I realized like early on in my life, I would always invite people to live with me. Like I have a problem with that. So like when people are struggling, I'd be like, just come live with me. You can live for free and get on your feet. I don't know why I do that, but I've always done that. And I think it's just because, you know, I was actually bounced around a lot when I was a kid. So it's almost like I'm feeding that kid, you know. And it happened so much, and I'm even like cognizant of it now. Like I'm even like in the back of my head, if I have like a certain conversation, I'm like, do I tell them, do I give them this information, because I don't want them to turn around and like do a live or like post it on Instagram. But then like I realize, you know, information is the highest form of currency that we offer. And so like if I'm offering for free high currency, then maybe I should like recheck my value. And you know, I'm always going to be taken care of. And that was like the big thing. Like I saw like this one person was constantly struggling, and you know, like I would randomly get checks from insurance companies, and I would randomly like, you know, hit on an NFT that was worth 4 grand. Like, you know, the universe was like helping me out. And I'm not saying it's a give and take thing, but I was like, okay, what is the larger scale here? You know, I have to like recognize the relationship with myself in this relationship with others. And I think when I like checked that, it shifted. And so I feel like I have people now that are kind of like me or get it, or like I can, you know, send a voicemail about some like crazy information K-hole that I just like went through, and they don't judge me on it. And I think that that's awesome. But I do think that, you know, you and I and a couple other people sat around and talked about how that relationship can get so blurred, where you feel used, or you feel like, you know, whether it's somebody's like, I felt like a side chick, you know, in those relationships. I felt like a secret. Or, you know, for you or other practitioners that have a huge following or a stronger following, like feel people latch on to you for whatever it is. Like there's that weird, because ultimately, in regardless of like the mystical, the magical, the spiritual circle, we're all human, right? And so like shit is just gonna go down.
Oh, man. The blurred line between client and practitioner is a very challenging thing for, like, I think so many of us doing this spiritual work, you know, are often self-taught in how to be a practitioner. Like, we might have taken courses and get certifications and studied different modalities, and so we learn the knowledges, but we don't learn how do you be a practitioner and how do you be in relationship with clients, how do you assert boundaries, how do you not like trick yourself into thinking that someone is more than a client, or you know. And that was a very tricky thing to develop for me, but it was a reflection of, like, myself. Like, I didn't in the beginning think that I deserved to put up boundaries. Like, I needed to do everything all the time with everyone. I had no work boundaries. I would be doing emails at 3 in the morning. You know, like I didn't know. And then as time went on and I learned, like, no, dude, that you need to like make access to yourself very scarce. Like you need to control the bridge that people take to get to you. You manage that. And it did feel like a big shift in how I show up in community with people. Yeah, it's the distinction between friend and friendly was like a strong distinction that I had to really learn. It was,
yeah,
I can be friendly, but I'm not your friend.
Well, I think like in the situations I was talking about, for me, it was like other practitioners, you know, but as far as clients are concerned, I think because I had the corporate background and I've always managed teams.
Yeah.
Management is just so easy for me. Like that is something I am good at. So like I get the line of like, you know, my clients know what's up and we have close relationships, but you know, I'm not inviting them to my baby shower. You know, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that overall, you know, there's a lot of like, I think there's a lot of not to do it, but I think there is a lot of gaslighting that can happen. Yeah. Right. And so it's like, well, you're doing this for the community or like, well, you know, spirit said this to me or whatever. And it's like, no dog, like I said that to you. I sent it in a text. Like you can't, you can't just, well, you know, spirit was talking through you, you know, that kind of stuff. And it sucks. Ugh. Right. Like, so I think in the beginning, I wanted to toe that soft line that I saw, the representation of like spiritual equals soft. And I felt like because I have like a little bit of an edge, I was like too intense for some people. And it made me like make myself really small and build everybody else up because I wanted to be accepted. Yeah. Because that's what we want as humans, right? We're looking to be accepted and to be loved. I don't care who you are, what you are, what background you come from. Yeah. That is like one of the like key points in our DNA. Like that's what we are looking for. And so I would just like collapse on myself and offer whatever I could to balance out whatever I felt was not good enough. And now I'm like, fuck that. You can be exactly how you want to be.
100%.
You can be spiritual as fuck and you can be mean as fuck. I really don't care. You know, like ultimately that line between the idea or the perception of nice and mean and good and evil and all that is just like, how much can you handle? Like, you know, not everyone is for everyone. And I think that when I finally got that, it shifted my relationship with other people. And I think that as you continue to, if you are in that place where you shrink yourself and you're so scared of like saying something that's disruptive or saying something that will like rub people the wrong way, you really can. I want to move into this. Like you can really find yourself in some like really shitty situations where you're like, oh shit, I think I might be in a cult. And like, like, you're completely collapsing on your values and your own systems and your beliefs.
Yeah.
By ripping away your own confidences.
Yes. I want to talk about the cult stuff, but really quickly, like, I feel like I went through that when I was getting my teaching credential. I was in this very, very like, I don't know how to say it, like a very, social justice-y teaching education, like teacher prep program. And I came from like the nonprofit world. I came from like, you know, I was in charge of teams too. I was in charge of running programs. I was like in on boards between like, you know, different administrative groups and like the superintendent of San Francisco and other like whatever. And so I was very accustomed to like do this, do this, do this, and just having that way about me. And when I started going through my teacher prep program, I crossed wires or I somehow interpreted that being directive, being like assertive equals being oppressive. And so I was like, well, I'm going into these, low income schools, these Title I schools. I don't want to like be the oppressive white lady for all intents and purposes. I'm going to shrink my leadership. And that was not a good look for me. I was inauthentic. I was being walked all over by everyone. And I wasn't accomplishing what I set out to do, which was like teaching these this curriculum or whatever as a teacher. And I really had to come to terms with like, where's my comfort zone? And can I be this like person that is sharp and assertive, but also cares, is not being oppressive, is like being loving, but not hiding who I am. And I feel like, yeah, that was an important thing to carry over. And I feel like I had to relearn that again. Because I kind of went through the same thing when I started doing this work that like, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to stick out as someone weird. I don't want to be shunned. But okay, so cults. So when we were talking earlier about clients and the distinction between friend and friendly, to me, when I have had clients that blur that line, I've noticed, and I've said this like multiple times, like publicly, like on Instagram, social media, like, don't trust me. Don't just listen to me. Don't just take what I say as truth. Find out for yourself. Go like do your research. Listen to what resonates for you. But I feel like that desire for the belonging can get us into pickles where we end up yielding our power to people in positions like ours. And we end up, finding ourselves not just in like a, we're not in a teaching learning situation anymore. Now we are in a situation, a relationship, in a community where we've now given our power away to somebody or something. And there's a lot of culty things happening, just even in a non-formal way, like not true cults, but like, casual culty behavior.
I'm really harping on the word pickle right now, but whenever I do a session or did a session with somebody who is new, I would always say, like, look, the language of spirit is metaphorical. It's kind of like playing charades, right? And so everything can have many meanings. And I'm going to tell them to you, but no, they can mean different things, right? And so when somebody would ask a specific question, I would say, like, this is what they're saying, but that can mean this, this, this. Like, I need you to figure this out. But I think it's tricky, right? Because a lot of people come to practitioners looking for guidance. And ultimately, it's not guidance. They want to be told yes or no, right? They want to know the right way. And as I got further and further into my practice and working with clients, I became like, I always use this, but it's just like, I just sound like a stoner. I'm like, nothing's wrong. Everything's going to play out. If you don't want to do it in this lifetime, just do it in the next. And, I would have clients come to me and say, well, I talked to this reader and they said, I need to do this. Or like, spirit says, I need to do this. I'm like, you don't need to do anything. Like, if you don't want to do it now, you can do it in the next lifetime. You can do it whenever. Like, you are the person that creates your reality. Right. And so when I would hear that, I would always leave and be like, what fucking practitioner told them they need to do whatever? And same with spirit, like, but are you interpreting it that way? Do you want them to tell you that? So I think that's hard. I do think there's like some ethics that probably aren't being taught, like you said. And I think that a lot of people are like, if you don't give them a yes or no, they're like, psh, you don't know. And it's like, well, no, I do, but but this is your reality, your life, how you want to do this. And ultimately the experience itself is the true wisdom. So like, there's got to be something you need to, not to need is like, I feel like that has to get removed at some point. I hear it a lot in the vocabulary of clients. And Right. You're just giving your way, you're giving your free will away by submitting to something somebody says, or, unknowingly asking for it. And I know that that's a hard truth to hear, but there's no right or wrong ultimately. Like, you're going to do what you're going to do for this lifetime, for this reality, for this dimensional service. And if anyone tells you any different, they're coming from a very linear point of view. I just think that, look, some readers can be wrong, some practitioners can be wrong, and that's completely okay. It's like a doctor. Like, you can do all the training you want, you can be wrong. But I also think that latching on to one and completely giving up your free will is borderline culty behavior, and it really creates a lot of confusion for you internally, because you can resonate with, like, I don't want to do this, but someone told me I had to. Well, what is the stronger divine eminence there? Like, the resonance is not because somebody who took some certification or whatever told you that. And by the way, and I know we met in like, an Akashic
A
teacher training and
certification
stuff,
class,
but when I got started, I was talking to my adopted mother, and she's the one that introduced me to the Akashic records. Her mother was a Centaur. Like, she taught me a lot about root work and working with spirit. And I remember crying and being like, I don't know, there's all these tarot readers and readers out there with all these certifications. And she's like, God don't give out certifications. What you have, there's nothing to certify for that. So I would also say, be very fucking careful of someone who lists their accolades like that, because it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be heart-centric, or they're going to be open enough to the reality of, like, whatever you want to achieve.
It doesn't even mean they learned anything. They could have
No.
just gone through the workbooks and got the thing,
Yeah, there are definitely, like, what do you, like, certification warriors, people that just collect them. They're out there.
For sure.
And there's also people like us that just create certifications. So, like, what are they accredited? Like, who's accrediting them? Like,
What's the
Archangel Michael?
vetting?
Like, what is, like, who's to say, I think there's a that weird line. So be careful. Be careful.
It's so one of the things that I talk about a lot in my Living Systems course is unmet needs. So like I talk about how the curriculum, every curriculum, it doesn't matter where you are, if you're in kindergarten, if you're in Montessori, if you're in a university class, it doesn't matter. Every curriculum has a bias. Every curriculum has an agenda. Every curriculum is political. It's trying to reach an end in some way. And most of the time in the colonial world, we don't think that. We think school is neutral. You're being taught math from a neutral perspective. No, the hell you're not. You're being taught math to be able to perform in a capitalist economy. So the way we teach things is really critical. And so in my class, I'm very transparent about here's my bias. And I list out the presuppositions, which are not truths that I want people to agree with. In fact, I wish people to question them. They shouldn't just agree with them. But I'm asserting that, like, here are the things I believe upon which this curriculum was built. So if anything feels weird, we can usually trace it back to a presupposition. The first presupposition, though, is that people are inherently good. And then, so like, the question always arises, well, people are inherently good, then why do they do shitty things? And so the second presupposition is that unmet needs drive our behavior. So people are behaving, and this is like goes to our conversation about evil, that like there's no evil, there's only the attempt to meet an unmet need. And people will use whatever tools, skills, knowledges, socializations, unconscious programming that they have. And that can sometimes be violent. And we like to write it off as evil, but that's a separate conversation. But so like, so like, there is an unmet need that people are trying to meet when they yield their power to someone else. There's an unmet need that someone's trying to meet when they tell somebody, you need me as your practitioner. You need to follow this. And it's not about the content of what they're teaching the client or what the client is actually receiving. It's about the unmet needs. Like, oh, well, if I tell this person they need me, then maybe they'll latch on to me and maybe I'll feel loved finally. Or if I yield my power to this person, then maybe they'll see my devotion and I will like belong somewhere. Or, you know, like, so I have truly, and I have to say also, like, my understanding of unmet needs and how this came into my life was through Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg. So if anybody wants to check that out, it's an interesting and cool book with issues, but I love it. But yeah, reframing from looking at just the surface level of what people are doing to trying to dig into like what are the unmet needs. And this is a lot of the work I do with clients too. Like, well, what unmet need do you have that you're trying to meet? And there are not often conscious, we're not conscious of these
Sure.
needs. But that has really shifted my view of people and shifted my view of myself. And like going back to that earlier thing, like it's allowed me to not have to like commodify relationships and see people for who they are and see that I was trying to meet unmet needs of like, oh, if I don't get enough opportunities and people, then I'm a failure. And if I'm a failure, then I'm unloved. And so clearly I'm commodifying this relationship so that I can actually feel loved. And like, whew, that like, yeah. Went and I just went in a bunch of directions right there.
No, but I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And I think the topic of good versus evil, and if that actually exists, we talked about possibly doing that. And I was like, let's do it in the far off future
Yeah,
because it
in
is
the
a hot
far
and heavy
future.
topic.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. And it like, you know, has dawned on me that a lot of my original shrinking was because my mother wasn't ever present. Like I was given away a lot. And so whenever I would see her, I'd be like, please love me. And I would like
Yeah.
sing and dance. And then when I got older and I had money, I would like give her money. Like
Yeah.
it was a very strange relationship. And
Yeah.
especially in female relationships, I would attach the same
Yeah.
relationship to that because that's the first female relationship I had.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
this the main one was my grandmother, who was, you know, spitfire. I don't give a fuck about anything. So
Yeah.
it really confuses you as a little kid. Like what's the
Yeah.
balance here?
Yeah.
But I think like, you know, when we go into bigger groups where what we see is, you know, the formulation, everybody seems alike. Everybody is part of the same thing. Everybody is vegan. Everybody's like, this is what you're
Yeah.
supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even in subculture groups, it can feel really isolating because
Yeah.
you don't feel like you belong. And so this
Yeah.
idea of community becomes a burden and overwhelming because
Yeah.
you're like, how do I show up as I am? And so like, what do a lot of us do? A lot of us
Yeah.
have like different friends that are into different things, which is cool.
Yeah.
But you know, where can I feel like true acceptance? And I think we're like constantly looking for that
Yeah.
for a really long time,
Yeah.
hoping that people will accept us. But what we do is we shrink ourselves in those groups to fit
Yeah.
in that moment, just to
Yeah.
feel
Yeah.
accepted through that unmet need of feeling accepted, whether
Totally.
that's your internal thing, like maybe you don't
Totally.
fully accept yourself for who you are or what you are. And
Yeah.
what I would say is like in my experience, in the beginning of my business, I was, you know, my colors were pink and white. I was trying to,
Yeah.
you know,
Wow,
connect to,
really?
yeah, right? You would never
No.
think.
No, literally no.
Yeah, it was pink and white. It was really
Wow.
light. I really wanted, because that's what I thought
Yeah.
was the way to do it, right? And so
Yeah.
I softened myself. And what I realized though, when I finally was like, fuck it, I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna talk about dark stuff. I'm gonna like get in there. Let's talk
Yeah.
about fear. Let's talk about whatever. That's when my people started showing
Yeah.
themselves. So I think
Yeah.
like it's a practice, right? If community is overwhelming for you and scary, don't think of it as like I need to find a group.
Yeah.
Just like show up where you are as you are
Yeah.
and see what happens.
Yeah.
And I think it really helped me in my normal life. Like I met one of my neighbors and they're like, "What do you do?" And I was like, energy work." And they're like, "Oh, my friend does Reiki." And I was like, "What?" Like, you know,
Yeah.
it's you don't even realize that. And then even so I worked in beer and then I keep leaving and coming back and whatever. But when I had to manage a bunch of guys when I came back after taking a hiatus and working on Divine Void, my interactions changed. And I'd be like, well, you
Yeah.
know, like, and then I kind of threw in some holistic stuff and boom, like people were like receptive. So it was like,
Yeah.
it's a practice. You just kind of throw out a nugget and see
Yeah.
what happens, see if it
Yeah.
explodes. And little by little, it becomes more integrated in your being and who you are.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the true way of finding
Yeah.
community.
Yeah. Yes, being yourself. I like one of the things you're pointing to me is like a deep colonial wound. So this, because what we're talking about, I can only speak from inside the United States. That's the country I live in. That's the country I was socialized in. But I know that like wherever the US has influence, this is probably present in other cultures, or other parts of the world. But like there's such a pressure to homogenize here. Like there's such a pressure to conform in, and even people that shirk conforming, like punk, there's punk groups, like punk culture. There's like, but there's a way to be punk and there's a way to not be punk. You know, like even that has its own homogenization. Subcultures have their own homogenization. And it's like, I don't know. I think a lot about like when I was forming, because like the culture in LA, the spiritual world culture in LA has such a distinct personality of like, flowy white garments in a very like minimal
What
hardwood
is
floor
sad beige
space
linen dress?
and like a macrame, yeah, like a macrame thing. And like, we just sit on the floor here and like,
Cacao
bitch, I
ceremonies.
have nerve damage. I can't be sitting on the floor. Like, it,
I'm like, ew, people walk on the floor. I am not
yeah,
doing that.
I know. I know. It just, I
You
mean,
put
like,
your shoes on beds.
but also, like, I'll sit on any floor. I don't care. But just when you, like, I don't know. This image, though, of like, I'm above consumerism. I'm above, the culture. I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. That's my identity. I felt that so much and was like, I felt like I saw that everywhere in LA, like a sound bath here, a meditation there, and every space looked the same. Every, and it just felt gross to me. It felt like fake. It felt like, and I just was feeling that pressure to conform even there. It's so hard. And so, like, we've been talking a lot about like what to look out for, but maybe we could talk about like, what if you are an isolated practitioner somewhere? What if you are, what do they call it? A solitary witch. If you're
Solo
like,
witch.
yeah, if you were out in the world and you don't, maybe you're in a conservative community and nobody understands your practice and nobody, you don't have that community. What worked for us? What works for you? Like, what would you say to those people that are seeking and want to meet that unmet need of belonging?
Well, I think it goes back to the practice, right? Like I mentioned, like throw a little bomb here and there. Like it's like when you go to the grocery store and you see a guy in like a hardcore shirt or wrap shirt and you're like, he gets it. You know,
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
that's my people. So I
Yeah.
think there's things that we look at as human beings. Like we're aware, like what you're wearing, like whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that if you see somebody wearing a crystal, not that this is the way to go, but
Yeah.
like you might be able to throw that out a little bit. You know, I think it's throwing out a nugget just to
Yeah.
see, you know, is probably the safest bet. And it's
Yeah.
a practice. And then as you
Yeah.
create the relationship, you can allow yourself to open up to it. You know, I
Yeah.
it's very safe to
Yeah.
do it that way. I also think that like, look, the internet is an incredible community,
Yeah.
and that is where I found the majority of my
Yeah.
community that accepts me for who I
Yeah.
am. And even like you and I, like, right, we intersect in certain things, but you and I research and study completely
Yeah.
different things.
Yeah,
So
totally.
like that's so what, you know, I think
Yeah.
that finding that community, like if you feel you dig someone, Like the amount of DMs I get that are like the same person, like, oh, what's up? Like, oh, you know, like it's nice to feel that because the other person wants to feel that too. So, you know, some people are gonna be dicks about it, but like that's also like asking someone on a date. Like some people are gonna say no, you know, that's part of the interaction. So I think taking a chance is probably your way in to finding your people. Or, you know, if there's a class you've been thinking about and you are like, I don't know if I have the money. Well, I also look at it as if like if the teacher is somebody I resonate with, if the content and the class is something I want to do, there's more value in it because it's not just the stuff I'm learning, but it's also the people that might be in the class. So I always add that to like the cost of a class, like thinking in that way. But that's what I would say. I don't know. What about you?
For me, I think like I just okay, I made a shift in my life, and I mentioned this earlier, like a falling in love with people, like people that aren't like me, people that like, and I think part of this helped build. I've always been like a curious person or like a critical thinker, like questioning things, but I feel like I didn't have the right to be curious about people until very recently. I really was under the impression that people don't want to hear about me. I should keep to myself, like, don't bother people. And I think like that's obviously like a belief that arose from a trauma upbringing, but like, and I have found that it's not true, but developing that curiosity about people has made me, I don't know, like attractive to people because I want to know about them. And then that attracted, like attraction attracts attraction. And so like I find myself just being mesmerized by like people's weird stories or like wow, I just like I find myself talking to people in public or I find myself like stuff that I didn't do before, and it like brings out like I don't know, it helps it, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but it like the curiosity is what helps me build. But I had to really learn to get out of my shell to do that. I have a small problem. I have to change my microphone because my I have to put my power cord on, so it might sound weird for just a second.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Okay. Can you hear me? You sound like you're underwater.
Oh no.
Wait, there you go. You're good.
I sound okay now? Okay. Let me put my power cord on because I would rather have the sound be weird than the power to just die on my computer.
You just want to make me edit.
No, we don't need to edit this. This is real life. People can hear our real life struggles. We stars, they're just like us. We use tech just like you guys.
We shop at Erewhon just like you. We don't have that on the East Coast. I'm like, I go to Trader Joe's. I got a PhD in snacks.
I do not shop at Erewhon BTW.
No, I like what you said about the curiosity. And you know, one of my things is I always have like a weird eclectic group of friends. And I think the thing that I like is like the thing that makes people tick. Like I like when somebody is like kind of weird, or I love when somebody is like super into something. Like I don't care what it is. I think it's really cool. And even like in the way that I date, it's my friend once told me I date the hottest non-hype hot guys are good. Like they're like, I would have never thought they were hot until you date them. And then I'm like, oh my God, that guy is so hot. But I like the thing that makes the person tick. Now I'm married, so I don't date. But you know, And I think that curiosity is, I think it's kind of like how you treat your dogs the same way you want to be treated. Like, I'm curious about you, probably because I want somebody to be curious about me, because I want to be invited. I want to be asked, you know? And I think that comes down to the normal human thing of like, I want to be in relationship, right? And but it's hard because we want somebody to bring us out of our shell, or you know, or some people don't even have that problem. They're the ones that like run it, you know. And man, good on y'all. But I think that for the people that struggle, you have to remember that it's like not other people's responsibility to make you feel comfortable. It's your responsibility. So, you know, sometimes it's gonna feel uncomfortable until you get comfortable. It's just like any kind of level of spiritual growth, right? Like you always, it feels a little uncomfortable. Like it's not gonna feel easy all the time.
That thing about like loving when someone is passionate about something is exactly it. I to me that's like exactly it, and it's deeply spiritual. Like I know we're kind of verging on like a psychology talk right now, but like it's deeply spiritual. Like we each came here, like Linda Howe would say, none of us is no single person is special, but all of us are unique. I don't know how much I agree with this, but I see what she's saying. Special kind of brings in this sense of like someone's better than someone else, whereas unique is like you have your universe unto yourself, and like you came here to have specific passions and interests and things that just light you up. And when you're in that state, you are your most beautiful, like easy to fall in love with self, like when you are like just vibing on the thing that you love. And that's the thing that like I talk about this in therapy with my gossip doctor, as you call her.
Therapist is a gossip
I've
doctor. Let's
never
talk
heard
shit on my
that.
mom.
It's so good. It's so good. But like my relation, something that I like talk about a lot about my relationship with my mom is like, when will I stop expecting her to be a different person and accept her who she for who she is right now? And it's like that transformation when you can like accept a person for who they are in the moment, it takes so much burden and anxiety off the pressure of like having an ideal relationship, or like, and I think like when we can just stop worrying about how we will look to people, am I spiritual enough? Am I wearing the gauzy dresses? Am I, whatever? And just be like, this is what I love. It like brings people to you. It brings people close.
I also think that when you, and it is not an easy task to meet somebody where they are as they are, because I've definitely had to do that work around my mother and my father as well. But I also think though, when you do that, you're doing it to yourself as well, 100%.
percent.
So like you're taking that pressure off of yourself as well. Like I used to be so hard on myself. And you know, again, like having a background where I was a Olympic Taekwondo practitioner, and so like I was constantly just trying to get my dad's attention and winning belts, and then going into beer sales, where at the time it was a heavily male-dominated industry. Like, you know, I really pushed and was really hard. Like, I could do better. I could. And then when I like got out of that, and then I started working on my wounds and working on the stories that I was telling myself, you know, now I'm like, I fucked that up. Oh well, whatever. You know, it's like not as it, you know,
The
it's
stakes are
okay.
actually low.
Totally. And I think that that comes into play a lot with like people that are in this business, because it is a business for a lot of us. When they're like, okay, what is my thing? What do I do? Whatever. And I decided to take that pressure off of myself, and I just allow my work to evolve as I evolve, or take breaks when I want to take breaks or whatever. And like, why add all this pressure? Because I feel like that pressure is an outside pressure that we internalize. And I think in our relationships, those pressures exist. Those stories exist. And we have to like figure out a way to take that pressure off. I don't need to be accepted in, you know, the yoga circles, even though I love bhakti. I don't need to be accepted in the hermetic circles. I don't need to be, I just need people that dig me for me. Yeah. And, you know, it's like that song says, she loves me for me, not because. Elder
it's
millennial.
So true. It's so true. Like that, I think like that's like the message of this conversation, or like what I think we're like coming to is like, whoever's listening, like you are exactly who you are supposed to be. Like you're exactly right for being loved. Like you're exactly the person that you need to be right now without changing.
Yeah.
In order to be loved and find community and find friendship and find relationships. And it's like, imagine if we all understood that about ourselves, and not in a way we're like, oh, I'm great, I'm better than everyone else, but like,
First off, speak for yourself.
okay, you're right. I forgot who I was talking to. but like, if we, instead of, and I just do this a lot, like I like do this when I like go to the grocery store. For one thing, I live in Hollywood, which is a very difficult place to like.
That place sucks. I didn't like it at all.
It's very hard to like.
I was like, big knock.
Love yourself as you are here and not feel the desire to conform or change or do something. But, and it's not like I'm a part of the Hollywood community or anything, but like, I feel it just from living here. But like, I go to like Trader Joe's and I have to like mentally put on my guard to get out of my car. And I'm like, I don't want to fucking live like this. And this is all me. Nobody in there cares who I am. Like, no one's judging me. And so like that, like I can just like relax my shoulders and be like, I am exactly right for this lifetime and for love and for all those things, for community. And it makes my interactions with people so much more pleasant.
Yeah.
To just be like,
Yeah. No, I dig it. And I think for whoever is listening to us, like we are your community. Like, we're like two people who came together because we just felt like, I don't know. I feel like we were
a resonant connection.
There was a resonant connection, but there was also like this like shared feeling of like, are we contrarians? Like, are we like, is there something wrong with us?
So
we were like, you know what? I bet there's other people that probably feel like this. And we have a lot of opinions, hot opinions on hot topics in spirituality. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I think showing up shows we care. And I think there's other people that feel probably the same on some things, not all things, or feel ragtag or feel like they just don't fit. And like, we're your people and you're our people. And I think that that was like the biggest thing about us doing Magical Baddies, right?
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. And with that, that's an invitation for you to be you even more. Like, that's an invitation for you to like not be like us, but be like you. And that is a community that I want to be a part of.
Representation matters. And I really wish my voice was deeper and smokier. So like, I accept myself for who I am, but I want a stronger voice just so I could like, be like, just be yourself. It's okay.
I don't got friends. I got
family. Oh, got friends. Lily's my only friend. And she lives on the other side of the country. Okay. So we're going to wrap up. we appreciate you just the way you are, exactly how you are, and exactly how you will become and have been. I think our next one, we'll do our next one. What's our next one on? Is it New Age?
I have spirit guides, protection and safety. We have a lot of topics.
We have so many topics. Yeah. Okay. Well, the next topic will be fun as well. I'm really looking forward to it.
I would love to talk about New Age, though.
Let's just talk about New Age. Let's just do it. Let's get into it. Because this was a really loving recording today.
Yeah, I think. It was.
So I think New Age is probably going to get
balance it. By yeah, we're going to balance it with some.
We're not going to get curious. We're going to get judgmental.
Yeah, we are. We're going to like just rip New Age a new one. And I say that as an Akashic Records practitioner who is firmly in the New Age world.
Yeah. And I love Edgar Cayce, and that's the granddaddy of New Age. So, you know, we're going to pick it apart. We're going to do what we do. So, you know, as always, like, subscribe, whatever people do on all of the things. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. See you next time, guys. Bye.